Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
I mean, every single day there's a new chapter to the Astros disaster. And here's my take on it. We're going to open it up, 800-919-3776, of course, and obviously at 10:30. I mean, of course at 10:30. I don't even need to say what we're going to do at 10:30. I think if you walk down Madison Avenue and say, excuse me, sir, ma'am, 10:30 on a Saturday, 98.70 ESPN, and they would just blurt out, oh, Stump Rothenberg? I love Stump Rothenberg. Well, that's good. You should. And you'll get another edition of Stump Rothenberg at 10:30 this morning, as you get every single Saturday. So we do have a lot to do. We'll get into a little NFL. RJ Bell at 11 o'clock. We'll take you from 11 to 12. I mean, all the trimmings, all the things we typically do on a Saturday morning. And, of course, we start with the Houston Astros. And we'll hear from the Astros. We'll hear from Jim Crane. And he's unbelievable. See, here's the thing to me that makes this worse than I even anticipated. You're soured on what they did. You think maybe everyone had some hand in something, right? Beltran was somewhere else. Beltran was at the Yankees. They bring him in. Alex Cora is winking. Well, I mean, you know, the biggest addition that they've had this offseason was Beltran, you know, wink and squint and laughing and giggling. And I mean, you'd be foolish to think that the only team that had their hands involved in any of this was the Houston Astros. Do I think the Astros took it to a higher level? I do. Do I think the Astros cheated? I do. Do I think the Astros needed to and should be punished at a higher level? I do. Do I think they will? No, I think you've seen the extent of their punishment. But here's the thing to me that's the most disturbing of all of it. Not even that they cheated. The and I don't even know what the appropriate words are. The smugness, the flippant way, the lack of caring, all right, so we maybe we cheated. Now you look around Major League Baseball, Jake Mariznick, contrition. J.D. Davis, apology. Jose Altuve, I don't have much to say about this whole thing. I don't even think they honestly, truly care. And you could act it. You could say, look, what we did was embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for myself. I'm embarrassed for my reputation. I'm embarrassed, you know, for and by my teammates. They do none of that. And you know why they do none of it? Why would they? Because the owner spoke all day on Thursday and said nothing that made it look like he was remorseful, embarrassed, upset. I mean, he sounded so asinine on Thursday and so embarrassing to himself and his organization on Thursday as he sits up there with the World Series banner, you know, dropped right behind him. And sitting there telling us, listen, there's no proof this worked. There's no proof that this really changed the way that the World Series or the ALCS or any of these things were going to go. Then why? It's so simple. Then why would you do it? Why would you tape stuff, trash cans, buzzers, bells, whistles, all of it? Why would you do those things if it did not work, if it did not help? Own it. We are probably the most forgiving country in the world. Do you know how differently you'd feel right now if they took the podium on Thursday and said, we're really sorry, we should have been better, we held ourselves to a higher standard, and that is completely unacceptable? You have other guys doing it, right? You have other guys around baseball doing it. You have J.D. Davis who fell on the sword yesterday with the Mets. He's embarrassed, and you should be. But what a disaster, and what an awful look for Major League Baseball. I mean, this is a sport that we talk about is losing fans right now, is losing fans as we speak right now. And now this is the topic, and this is the story. Although I will say this, in some bizarro, perverse way, I don't even think the fact that this is going to be a story leading into the season is the worst thing for Major League Baseball. Because I'll tell you what, you're going to want to watch every Astros game, especially when they're on the road. I mean, when they take the field at Yankee Stadium, or when they take the field anywhere, really, they are going to be public enemy number one. I wonder if there's going to be retribution, right? I wonder if guys are going to throw at Astros guys. I mean, they are, to say hated would be an understatement at this point. And just to show you, right? Because sometimes, very rarely, will players go after other players. Very rarely will you have a player that does something wrong and in droves, other players go right after them. Pull no punches and just verbally berate and attack them. Well, that's what you have now. You have it all over the place and led by. And here's the thing. If this is Jake Mariznick, a little bit of juice. When it's a superstar like a Cody Bellinger, a lot of juice. And let's take a listen to the Dodgers' terrific first baseman and right fielder, Cody Bellinger, who holds no punches. He destroys the Astros.
I thought the apologies were whatever. I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. I mean, these guys were cheating for 3 years. You know, I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us. I know personally I lost respect for those guys. I think I would say everyone in the show, in the big leagues, lost respect for those guys. I don't know what human hits a walk-off home run against Aroldis Chapman to send your team to the World Series. And one has the thought to say, don't rip my jersey off. But two, go in the tunnel, change your shirt, and then come out and do your interview. Like that makes no sense to me. It makes zero sense to me. Because I know me. Gary Sanchez said yesterday, you can rip my shirt off, my pants off. I sent my team the World Series off for Aroldis Chapman in the ninth inning at home. You can do, you know, I'm going crazy.
Of course. Of course. I mean, think about how you reacted. If you were an Astros fan, if you're a Yankees fan, you have a walk-off home run to send your team to a World Series, and your first reaction, I said this, you know, the second it happened, the second that this came out where they had the little bulge in the chest and people thought there's a buzzer there, you're rounding third base. You will never, in the history of your life, have a bigger hit. You never will. That's as good as it's ever going to get. And your thought is, okay, my wife told me she doesn't like it when my jersey gets ripped off. She thinks it's disrespectful when my jersey gets ripped off. So, as I'm rounding third base, ready to touch home plate, my first thought will be to my teammates, don't rip off my jersey. My wife doesn't like it. She thinks it's low class and low brow, and I'm better than that. And then you go into the clubhouse, I guess, down the tunnel, and appear in different clothing. I'm sorry. At this point, you do not get the benefit of the doubt. You want to say it's tainted? Say it's tainted. You want to say they cheated? I think we all agree that they cheated. But this storyline for baseball is really intriguing moving forward. And before you start with one of two things, strip them of the World Series title and ban them from postseason play, those two things, people, will not happen. So you can call them to your blue of the face. Dave, you got to take away the title in 2017. Okay, great. That's not going to happen. You got to ban them from postseason this year. It's not going to happen. You got to make them play every game on the road, punish them. It's not going to happen. They have been punished. Major League Baseball is hoping, and it will not work, that this gets swept under the rug. But I'll tell you what. If you're Altuve, if you're Bregman, and at least Correa had a little contrition here, if you're of that ilk, you better hope to God you don't hit 238 with 18 home runs and 72 RBIs this year. You better hope to God that you hit 294 with 38 and 120. Because we look at those guys, whether you hate them or not, whether you look at what they did and you were repulsed by it or not, we look at those guys as superstars of baseball. They better hope to God that they have big seasons, huge seasons. 800-919-3776. So obviously we lead with the Astros. We're going to get into the Rangers a little bit today, people. I'm telling you. I mean, this is a team that is absolutely playing terrific hockey at a great time in huge games. They go on the road in Columbus Tied at one, third period, Kreider, and God, he is making it very difficult to even consider trading him at this point. But if you're a fan of the Rangers, you got to be excited about it right now. So we'll get into the Rangers. We'll get into a little NFL, a lot of Houston Astros, a lot of calls, some for Rothenberg 10:30, RJ Bell 11 o'clock. I mean, when I go out and about, I get a lot of love the show, Saturdays are great, you and Canty, Rick, Monday to Friday, wonderful, and Ty. I get like that, oh, and Ty, like he's good. I enjoy listening to what he has to say. So you're becoming like a staple of the show.
I appreciate it. You're creating a star.
Do recognize that this is like, I'm like the David Geffen of behind the scenes, and just I'm promoting you to be a star.
It's hard not to recognize it when you always take credit for it.
Right. I guess that's fair. Now, another thing we typically like to do, aside from welcoming you in as we typically start segment number two, is to give people the update. You know what update I'm talking about.
Hashtag weight check.
All right, my man.
Where are we today?
222.6 was the beginning.
Yes.
222.6, January 2nd. End game of
200.
200, 2 weeks from today, February 29th. Weighed in this morning at 205.2.
There we go, baby. There we go.
205.2. Now, here's what's going to happen. This continues along. I might just drink tea tomorrow. I might not actually put any food in my mouth. Next Friday, if I'm not 203 or less, I will begin a juice cleanse.
Now, look, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. And I think you're actually going to get to the number you want to be at.
Is this the first time you've believed that? Or have you believed that the entire way?
No, I didn't believe it the entire way. Just looking at you.
You did not?
Yeah, just looking at you. I didn't know if it was possible. But what I will say is I'm a little concerned because, like, how are you not miserable?
How am I not miserable? My wife says to me 2 days ago, quote, "Put a donut in your face." That's a quote. Put a donut in your face.
Would you say this is the unhappiest you've been in a long time?
Just consistently, yes.
You're not enjoying this at all.
I am not enjoying. You know the people like, oh, you feel this wonderful glow of when you're losing weight and you get on the treadmill. I feel like I'm going to fall over half the time.
That sounds unhealthy to me.
It's unhealthy. I'm unwell. There's nothing about this that I'm enjoying. This is a travesty, what I'm doing right now, but a necessity. And people have said, and you've seen me, people have said, you don't need to lose any more weight. You're 205. You look really good. Like, in your face, you look terrific. John Winthrop said to me this week, quote, "You look gaunt, right? But I have in my mind, and I think a lot of people will understand and respect this, in my mind it was always, I'm going to get to 200. So whether I look like I've done enough at this point, I am going to get to 200 pounds.
So I would call this the dietary version of the Mamba mentality.
I like that. I like that very much. Yes, this is what it is. It is singular focus. Straight down the middle. You cannot get in my way. I'm fruits, I'm vegetables, I'm some protein, I'm some treadmill, and that's it.
There we go. Dave Rothenberg is Kobe Bryant in
the
some way.
The dieting version of Kobe Bryant, yes.
Love it. Now,
205.2. 5.2 pounds to go in 2 weeks.
I have to ask you another question. So Valentine's Day was yesterday.
Yes.
Did you take your wife out to dinner?
So here's the thing, and this is the you don't realize my family, that they're evil. Evil, these little people. So there's a local place, kind of diner-esque, like a little better than diner-esque, but a diner-esque feel. Like they got good salads and turkey burger things and all that kind of stuff. And by the way, the call screener again is out. So if you could just flip that across, that would be great. So I said, let's go there. And they go, no, Dad, we don't want to go there. I said, where do you guys want to go? We want to go for Mexican. Mexican? I said, I can't eat anything in the Mexican restaurant. Oh, you'll be fine, Dad.
What type of animals are you living with?
Tell me about it, right? These are little evil people. So, Dad, we want Mexican. We want to go for, we want tacos. We want enchiladas. We want guac. We want salsa. We want chips. Fine. So we go Mexican. They're eating. And then Ben, who is close to the devil, dressed as a 13-year-old boy, he says to me, why don't you just have some chips and salsa? That would be the death of me. I can't have chips and salsa.
Actively rooting against
him. He passes it by my face.
Wow.
It's terrible. I ask, and I'm this, you know who I am now? And we'll get to your calls on the Astros in a moment. You know who I am now?
Who are
I'm
you?
That guy who has to ask these questions. Excuse me, sir. The black bean soup, is there any cream in the black bean soup? No. Is there added salt to the black bean soup? No, it's just black beans and whatever. Okay, I'd like the black bean soup, and I'd like a house salad with grilled chicken dressing on the side. I'm that guy. I'm dressing on the side guy.
So not only are you physically experiencing like this rebirth, you're also doing it mentally.
It's the mama mentality. You put it as perfectly as humanly possible.
And I think this, it's building. I think the reason why your family is doing this to you is because they want you to feel like you overcame that adversity. You're building character.
So you feel like that, like I'm Kobe going to the line, and they have like the picture of the naked woman behind the basket, like waving it around. That's
yes.
What they're doing to
like
me.
The foam
they're
fingers.
Like the Cameron crazies.
Yes.
The diet version of the Cameron crazies.
Yes, only to have Coach K come scream at you.
No, he apologized for that. All right, let's get to the calls. 800-919-3776. So, in advance, if I'm short with you today at 205.2, I think you understand why. Let's go to Bill in Queens. Bill, lead us off on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Dave. Thanks for taking my call. I think this whole thing with the Astros is just absurd. Like you said, there's smugness of it. If you're going to apologize, then you got to go all in. And to dance around the subject, I just think it makes them look worse. And I forgot who they asked the question of yesterday or the other day in the interview. They said, did you cheat? And he's like, well, we broke the rules. No, you cheated. That's it. There's no other way.
Right.
And if, you know, you, the pro.
But I don't think they see it like that, Bill. And that's the amazing. You know when like, you do something wrong, and we've all been this guy and this woman. When you do something wrong and you're dead to rights and you absolutely are busted and you just refuse to own it and you will die on the sword. That's what it feels like to me with the Astros. It feels like they are that team and that organization that they will just not admit it. Now, Rick has this theory, and maybe he's right, that they are of the mindset that everyone else is doing it and they were just the best at it or took it the furthest or got busted or whatever it is. But I will tell you what, if in fact everyone else was doing it, and the Bellingers and the Cashmans and, I mean, you can go up and down Major League Baseball right now, are reading this team, the Riot Act, and they get busted for it. I mean, this is bad, really bad for baseball. Gary in Jersey City. Gary, you're next up on 98.7. Gary? No, that's a shame. I thought Gary's going to have terrific points. Let's move on and go to James. And James in Spring Valley, I know he's going to be there. James, you're on 98.7.
Dave, I am completely heated about the Astros, and that cost me a chance to go to the World Series. Very heated and very upset. I mean, here's my question. Number one, after Astros look like clowns in that press conference, my only fear is they could use this as motivation to try to prove that we're just that good and they're better without you. Could that be a way to yeah?
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I mean, they absolutely could. They 100% could. And I think that becomes, listen, I will be honest with you. To me, they are must watch. They are absolutely must watch this year.
Especially when Houston comes to New York twice. They go to the Mets and then they come to the Yankees at the end. Yeah, that's going to be,
James, you tell me, if I give you the opportunity to watch an Astros game, are you not more intrigued right now?
I'm definitely more intrigued, okay. Especially them on the road, because I want to see how
right.
They're going to handle adversity on the road. That's
but ordinarily, would you have any interest in an Astros-White Sox game?
Ordinarily, no. But after,
right, but you will now, right?
Absolutely, man. And also, congratulations on your Rangers. I want to give you a shout-out to your Rangers. Good win. And
thanks. Good wins. I mean, they
good
beat
win,
the Wild on Thursday,
yep.
and thanks for the call. And they beat the Wild, come back from down 3-1. Minnesota fires their coach after. Then they go into Columbus, lead 1-0, 1-1 going into the third, breakaway, shorthanded for Columbus, off the crossbar, Kreider with 3 minutes to go scores, Rangers hang on, 3-1 win. So now, you know, listen, it's still a long shot. Odds are they're not going to go to the postseason, but now they've pulled themselves within 7 points of that spot, with two games in hand. So this unbelievable Mount Everest is now, you know, the Appalachian Mountains. It's not as bad as it was. And their schedule is daunting. I think they have Boston at home tomorrow, and then they go back on the road, and it won't be easy. But you know what? They're playing good hockey. The best thing for them, the remainder of this year and moving forward, honestly, would be trading Hank. And I cannot imagine for the life of me that he is happy with the situation right now. There's no reason for him to play. Between Shesterkin and Georgie, the goaltender is covered. He's making $9 million a year. He probably still has something left. The best thing for both parties is let's move him somewhere else. Let's move him somewhere else. Gary in Jersey City. Gary, you're on 98.7.
Well, hello. You're on speakerphone. Let me get you.
No, I'm not. No, Gary, we're not doing speakerphone. What is the matter? Here, Ty, forget about Gary. Hello. We're done with Gary. If he thinks that's even a possibility, we're done. Ty.
Hey.
You know I love you, right?
Of course.
Let's go through the screening process, shall we?
Okay.
No, I'm serious.
Let's impugn my screening abilities.
Let's go through the screening process. We probably just did 90 seconds prior with Gary, okay?
Yes.
Hey, it's Dave from Westchester. I'd like to get on the air with Rothenberg. I love Rothenberg.
Hey, it's Dave. That's not how you start the phone call.
No. I'm calling you. You're answering the phone.
Yes, but that's not how the
phone. Okay, Howard. I'd like to get on the air.
No, I say ESPN New York. What's your name?
Dave from Westchester. I have a great point.
Okay, Dave, what's your point?
I want to talk about the Astros and how where they cheated, and I'm horrified by it.
Okay, Dave, no speakerphone, no Bluetooth. Uh-huh. Put the phone down and...
Why do we hear a dial tone? What is happening with you, Ty?
You said what's happening with me?
Yeah.
Let's continue. Okay. So I tell him to put the phone down.
Uh-huh. And repeat that again. You say no what?
No speakerphone, no Bluetooth.
And then I answer his call seconds later, and he says?
He's on the speakerphone.
I mean, really, you can't make it up.
No, you
can't.
It's
the Houston Astros of callers right now.
Yes.
All right. 800-919-3776. And I told you, my fuse is shorter because I'm starving myself right now. You know what I had for breakfast this morning?
Yogurt.
No, I haven't had dairy.
Oh, no dairy?
No.
Crackers.
I can't have carbs.
What'd you have? It sounds like you're miserable, man. That feels so awfully
organic, sugarless applesauce.
Where do you even find that in Stop and Shop?
Even the packaging is like, ugh, who would want to eat this?
So what's going to happen when you actually get to 200 pounds?
Celebration.
Yeah,
Bar mitzvah.
But I understand. How is your diet going to change?
All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a week of just off the wagon. Like double-fisting donuts, throwing munchkins up in the air during breaks during the shows. Like
double-fisting donuts.
Like a Boston cream in one hand, you know, powdered glaze in the other. Just eating donuts like it's going out of style. Maybe like on my right will be Dunkin' Donuts, on my left will be Krispy Kreme, and the middle will be another. Like I'll just go crazy for a week, okay?
Okay.
And then 1 week after my I'm going to have Burger King. I'm going to do all these things. 1 week after, I'm going to go on a normal diet. Not a organic, sugarless applesauce and not the other side. Somewhere in the middle.
So here's what we need another significant event to happen in the next few months to give you motivation to get back down to 200.
No, I won't need the same because I'll never have this motivation again. This is motivation that I've never had. I'm just going to have normal, you know what, lifestyle. I have a family. I want to be around for a long time. That's the motivation.
I just think that you're not mentally, you're mentally fragile is what I'm saying. When it comes to food.
Well, but you can't say that for the last, you know, 7 weeks.
Because you've had something to look forward to.
That's right. I need you to be a supporter, not anti what I'm
doing. Or I can just give you tough love because that's what you need.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
And Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of Andrew M. Cohen. I mean, this is a lawyer for the ages. And I'll give you his information on the other side of Stump Rothenberg, and you're going to listen closely, and you're going to call him and say, you're not going to even want to sue anybody. And by the time I get done telling you about the great Andrew M. Cohen, you're going to say, I just want to sue someone. I don't even care what it's about. All right, Ty, this is it. Stump Rothenberg, are you ready to roll here?
Let's do it, man. Let's do it.
I'm a little annoyed at you to begin with today. And if these questions are not solid questions,
you're going to blame me.
I'm going to absolutely blame you.
Okay.
All right.
I can deal with the pressure.
Okay. Sean in Stamford. Sean, lead us off. Saturday, Stump Rothenberg, go.
Hey, dude. How's it going?
Good.
All right. Hang in there at the Weight Loss. You're doing great.
Doing the best I can.
Yeah, all right. Okay. A question on geography and more islands.
And what islands?
On islands.
Okay.
Okay. What island, part of the city of Portland, Oregon, is situated at the confluence of the Willamette and Columbia Rivers?
The what?
The Willamette and Columbia Rivers. It's hard to pronounce. It's now, Willamette.
I think it's Salvi Island, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
Salvi Island?
No. I don't know. You're in the right area, though. It's
the only island I know part of in Portland is Salvi Island.
Yeah, actually, it's Hayden Island.
All right. Now, Ty. Dear sweet Ty, you think that's a good question?
Man, listen. Geography is always up your alley. And you had a good guess for
it. You were close.
That's the point. I mean, come on.
He said you were in the right vicinity, which, I know,
so
all intents and purposes.
What question will you be asking? You don't.
It's so funny that you always do this after a question you got wrong. So you're embarrassed.
I believe in Andy and Merrick.
He's
called before. He's a good caller. He asks good questions typically. Andy, you know what? I respect you greatly. Do you look at that as a good question?
That is not a fair question, Dave.
Thank you. Andy,
you will ask a
good question, won't you?
I'm going to give you a basketball question. It's a very fair question.
Okay.
You ready? Who holds the Knicks' single-season record for total rebounds in a season with 1,191 rebounds?
Most Knicks' rebounds in a season. So it's not going to be Ewing, because that's just too easy. I would think Oakley, but Willis Reed could be the answer. But you're a sneaky guy. I'm gonna say Willis Reed.
You got it.
All right. See, that's a question. Now, why can't you do more of that, Ty? Why can't that be like that's a good question.
I find it so interesting that the fair question is the one you got right. The abominable question is the one you got wrong.
Well, yeah. I mean, that goes without saying. Let's go to Chris and Bethpage. Chris, you're on Stump Rothenberg. 1-1.
Okay, Dave. Who in NHL, an NHL question, hockey, okay? Two players in the history of the sport have gotten an NCAA title. They've won a Olympic gold medal, and they won a Stanley Cup. Two players, you've got to name one.
Wait. Hang on a second. So, obviously, we're hockey, right?
Right.
So, NCAA title, Stanley Cup.
Right.
And what's the Olympic gold medal.
Olympic gold medal.
All right.
Two players, all you got to do is name one. And just so you know, it's happened within the last 40 years.
So, I think
both of them.
Neil Broughton, I think, is one.
Say no more. You got it right there. And the other is Ed Belfour.
And Neil Broughton was on the 80 Olympic team, right, for the men's hockey?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. So now we're 2-1. All right. Rolling right along. All right. So that's good. So, Ty, how do you feel about the start of this? I'm off to a good start, right?
Yeah.
Two and one's
not bad.
Not bad.
3-1 would be better.
Let's see. Mickey and Clifton. Mickey, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave.
Where are we going, Mickey?
Seven.
Where are we going?
Hey, Dave. Oh, we're going NBA.
NBA, okay.
Okay. Game 7, NBA Finals, triple doubles. Jerry West had the first. LeBron had the third. Who had the second? NBA Finals, Game 7 triple-doubles.
Worthy?
Yes.
Yes, yes! That's beautiful. Come on, Ty.
That's amazing.
Come on.
That's incredible.
Come on.
And it's an NBA question. You hate basketball.
That's not true.
I'm just kidding.
Why would you say something like that?
I'm just kidding.
I love it all. Oh, that was... Oh, come on. Come on, baby.
3-1, baby. Only thing better is 4-1.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Jake in Caldwell. Jake, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. I'm going movie today, and I'm going Sandlot.
Okay.
Okay, so towards the end of the movie, the narrator discusses where each kid is in life and how they grew up. So De Nunez, the pitcher, grows up to coach his son's Little League team. What is the name of the Little League team?
Oh, come on.
I think that's fair.
Oh, God. You think that's fair?
I do.
I don't know. Boy, I do not. I it's Kenny De Nunez, but I don't know his right? It's Kenny, isn't it?
It is Kenny. Do you know anything about his later life?
Well, I mean he played baseball, they said, moving forward, but I don't know the name of his.
Yeah,
of his...
He was in the AAA, and then he coached his son's Little League team called the Heaters.
Yeah, I did not know that. I did not know that. That is some kind of question, right? Some kind of question. And Ty thinks it's the great. All right, moving right along. 800-919-3776. Okay, that's 3-2. That's fine. I mean, come on. Worthy was sensational.
So you think that should count for 2 points?
I think we could have stopped the segment right then, to be
honest.
Let's
do it. Let's stop it here.
Where did James Worthy go to college? One of the great players in the history of the NBA, right? Where did he go to college?
I want to say UNC.
That's right. Good for you. That's right. Good for you. He, in fact, I shouldn't really tell you this because it was such a painful memory for me, but if you remember, you won't remember.
Oh, that. I know what you're going to say.
The 82 championship game.
Yeah.
Georgetown down 63-62. Last shot, they come down. Fred Brown turns to the guy right next to him and passes to James Worthy on... North Carolina. All right, let's move along. 3-2. John in Westchester. John, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave. Three NBA players have averaged 20 points and 20 rebounds for a season. Will Chamberlain was one of them. Can you name one of the other two?
So three guys have gone 20 points, 20 rebounds in a season?
For a whole season, entire season. Chamberlain did it his entire career, by the way. I'll give you a hint on one.
I don't want a hint. I don't want a hint.
All right.
These have to be old-time guys, right?
Semi. One yes, yeah. One semi.
2020 in a season. I mean, I can't. Andre Drummond never averaged 20-20. He's the only guy I can think of remotely recently. These have to be older guys. Did Bill Russell ever go 20-20 for a season?
No.
Jerry Lucas? I can already be wrong.
Yeah.
I just want to try.
Yeah.
What? Jerry Lucas is one? All right.
Yeah,
there you go.
Two seasons.
All right, so I'm not going to take credit for it, but I like the fact that I at least...
So you're 3-3.
That's right.
Do you want me to? Do you want me to be the person to get you over 500? I've got a question for you.
What's your genre? I think you've had enough NBA.
It's hoops because it's relevant.
You're going to ask me all-star history, and I don't want it.
No, it's not all-star history.
Is it a good question?
It's a good question.
Go ahead.
All right, so our bet last year was on the MVP. No. Giannis is about to go back-to-back on MVPs, going to win it for the second consecutive season. Who's the first player in NBA history to ever win back-to-back MVPs?
Well, Tim Duncan definitely did it, but I don't think he's the first. It's got to be Bill Russell.
Wow, impressive. It is Bill Russell.
And I think he actually went more than two in a row.
He went three in a row. Then he won four or five.
I mean, look at what we do here.
You just drip brilliance.
I mean, so now we're 4-3. Kareem has also done it.
Kareem has done it.
And I believe Moses Malone has done it.
Moses Malone has done it. Let's see how far he can go.
I don't think Michael did it, though.
Michael, he did do it. Early 90s.
And Magic did it.
Magic Johnson, no, he did not do it.
I thought he did.
Yes, he did do it. So it's interesting. So Magic won back-to-back, then Michael won back-to-back.
And Steve Nash also did it, didn't he?
Steve Nash, but that last one, Kobe deserved it. But yes, Nash did do it.
Here we go. Now you got to interject your opinion. All right, so let's take at least one more. 4-3, let's go to Mark in Oak Ridge. Mark, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, how you doing today? Thank
Good,
you
Mark.
For taking my question.
Yep. Where are you going here?
I'm going to college football.
Okay.
And it's a question about kicker, and you might say, oh, that's ridiculous to name a kicker. So all you have to do is name the university.
All right.
Who holds the record for the longest field goal in Rose Bowl history? And all you have to do is name the university that the guy kicked for.
Longest field goal in Rose Bowl history. Is it the guy from a couple of years ago from Georgia?
Very good. Who? What's his name?
He was there. It felt like he was there for 9 years. Now here's what's unfair. He said I don't have to name his name, and
well,
now
you
he
don't
wants
have
his
to.
Name.
You don't have to if you don't want to.
It was a long name.
No, well, the guy still kicks right now. To be honest,
yeah, he was there
from that many years
like
ago,
been there
but
for
you
9 years. I don't remember his name. It's
Rodrigo Blankenship.
All right, there you go. All right, come on. I mean, what we do here is we're a different level. Ty, would you agree we're at an unbelievable level?
Yeah, I mean, we're 500, like your favorite quarterback of all time.
You know, except we're 5-3.
No.
Yeah, we were 3-3, got your question, and then got this question.
No, you
5-3.
Didn't. Oh, okay. Because you didn't get the name. You didn't get the name. But,
he said name the school.
He said name the school. Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
So we're done at 5-3?
I mean, Kyrie did say he had a question.
I do. I think you'll get this, though.
Yeah, that's what you butter me up. You make me, my guard goes down, and then you punch me in the face. Go ahead.
Come on. In honor of our NBA All-Star coverage tonight.
Right.
The last time the
8 o'clock tonight, by the way, right here, 98.7 ESPN.
Correct. The last time the All-Star game was played in Chicago was 1988.
Uh-huh.
Who won the three-point contest in 1988?
Now I'm thinking it's got to be Bird in 88. Oh, there we go. All right. So play again. Give me one more.
Phenomenal.
There you go. So Ty, let me see if I can correctly get this.
Okay.
You were 3-3, and I don't think fledgling. I think 3-3 is fine. And then I said no. And that's on the heels of the James Worthy question, which was genius, mind you. 3-3, 4-3, 5-3, 6-3. Take my cap, take the mic, throw it down, we're done.
Going to Cooperstown, baby.
We're going to Cooperstown. Now, Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of Andrew M. Cohen.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
I love buffet breakfast, but I never go. I mean, just like twice a year.
Well, because you're probably typically sleeping breakfast time.
No, you know, I get up fairly early, you know, fairly.
You
not
get,
crazy.
You get rolling on a Saturday with this show. I mean, let's be honest. You get out of bed at 7:45 and roll down to the home studio.
7:53.
Yes. I mean, you are as last minute as last minute can be. So here's, and this is interesting with you. How you been, by the way? I've missed you this week.
You know, I feel the same, Mr. Rothenberg.
Well, that's very sweet. So we've gotten a lot of calls on the Astros, and I think it's interesting from your perspective because a lot of people have said, and to me this is preposterous and will never happen, why, you know, if you bet on, say, the Yankees in 2017, you should now be refunded your money, or if you won money on the Astros, you should now have to pay it back. RJ, explain, that never happens, that never has happened, and that never will happen in the world of gambling.
Now, it never will where it's forced upon the books because they have a rule, which is whatever the official result is, 20 minutes or so, and each book has a slightly different time period after the game, that becomes the official no matter what. And there was actually a time, USC in Utah, maybe 5-6 years ago now, they actually put a score on at like maybe a half hour after the game, and they paid on the original score because when you have physical...
So they added a basket or something?
Oh, no, it was football. They added... They added like a touchdown or something. Yeah, but it didn't affect the actual outcome of the game, but it did affect the spread.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you got paid, like they closed it. By the time that came in, it was too late, and they had already closed it.
Exactly, and that's the whole point. If they're going to be paying off the first score, they can't pay off the second score. Some of the books did, as generosity, say we're going to pay both, but that was for PR, and you'll get that sometimes. But in general, whatever that final score is initially, cash that ticket fast.
So this idea that they should go back and redo those wagers from 3-4 years ago is preposterous, right?
Yeah, unless it was some kind of marketing effort. But who's going to even have proof they have those bets, right?
How many people? It's not like you're saving a losing ticket for 4 years.
Well, unless you are a professional and you're saving it for tax purposes, then you would have it, no doubt. But now what's fascinating, though, is to me, this kind of dovetails into the injury report. And I last Super Bowl, I was ranting and raving about Gurley, and it's like, wait, he's not on the injury report? And there's millions, and I mean literally billions of dollars bet on the Super Bowl, and the NFL now is benefiting from that. They got deals with various sports books, different things they do.
So you know what's amazing to me, and I hate to interrupt you,
no,
but
go ahead.
The NFL was so opposed to gambling for so long, and they didn't want any part of it, and now they are basically in bed with it.
You know, some might say even hypocritical. I wouldn't say that, but you know, some would.
I would.
Listen, the NFL has always been about the money. The minute when they could make all kind of money from gambling but still be sanctimonious, they did it.
But do you remember when Tony Romo wanted to have his fantasy football convention in Vegas, not 10 years ago, I mean not that long ago, and they freaked out and they made him cancel it and he wasn't allowed?
They actually wouldn't allow the city of Las Vegas to have a commercial on the Super Bowl a while back.
It's amazing. I mean, but this has been an immediate 180. This has not taken years and years and years. This is like we realize that there's huge money to be made for us and we're all in.
Hey, in a way, you got to respect it. They don't even try to act like there's any consistency. Just wherever the most money is to be made.
It's like an NFL suspension. We don't know why we're giving them 4 games, but we'll give them 4 games until the public outcry is crazy, and then maybe we'll adjust it to make it more acceptable.
And I won't belabor the point, but in 20 seconds, I do believe the injury reports, there's going to be class action lawsuits. The idea that you can really not provide the proper information or the correct, accurate information about injuries, and with all this money being bet, it's going to be a problem, guaranteed.
All right, so last week, and I want to get into the Brady and where his next team might actually wind up being. Last week, I believe, because you're scalding hot, you were correct in your pick of the week for the XFL, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if a 3-point underdog that won by like 20, yes.
Well, I didn't remember the selection.
I just want to say it wasn't even, let's just say.
The New York Guardians.
Yes, and against the Vipers.
And they won, what, 23-3 was the final score?
I think so, some variation of that.
Now, how can you have a variation of 23-3?
I mean, something where it was like 20 points, maybe 18, maybe 22. I mean, at a certain point, you just quit counting.
Right. You're so good, it doesn't even matter to you. Right? You're next level stuff. So, you must feel very confidently you'll give us another winner today.
I'm going to actually give two half unit plays, though.
Both so two baby bets.
Both on the All-Star weekend.
Really? Now, mm-hmm. Is it anything tonight, like slam dunk?
No. Sunday action.
So Sunday action.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm thinking about it. I'm going to go a third of a unit and 2/3 of a unit. Because the one bet is 6-1 long shot. So, a little sprinkle, we like to say.
Now, typically, we will do one of those in the last portion of this segment,
mm-hmm.
And then the big
let's
one,
do it, baby.
Your better one in the last portion of the final segment, almost like an hour-long tease here.
Exactly, and again, I'll leave that to you. I just provide information for the five boroughs. That's all I think about when I wake up.
Now, you limit it to, I mean, we have Connecticut is involved here. We've got Long Island is deeply involved here.
I don't like commuters. I can't lie.
Well,
I can deal with. Howard Stern's from Long Island.
New Jersey.
I've spent a lot of time around Union, Jersey, baby.
Really?
Yep. My best buddy, his uncle owns 2 diners over there. And when we were kids, when we were like in college, we'd come up for a week every summer, eat free the whole time, cheese sticks every meal.
Really? That's a diner staple. Now, do you consider me to be a dear friend?
I would say a friend at this point.
So if you were to marry again.
Again, right? I'm married.
Right, I understand. But if you weren't married and,
okay.
you were planning your wedding and it was, say, June of 2020 in Las Vegas, would I be invited to the wedding?
Let's just say this. I would be open to it if you solicited me.
So I would have to plead
my
case.
No, if you said, oh, it might be nice to come out to the wedding, I'd be like, hey, great. Let's do it.
Now, did you get married in Vegas?
Yes, I did.
And you'd do it all over again?
It was great. My wife did a great, because the Four Seasons is right by Mandalay Bay, and she didn't want to walk through the casino like in a wedding dress, right?
I don't blame her for that.
Which it was perfect because you had all the amenities of the Mandalay right there, but the Four Seasons, obviously, very nice, but it was, pretty reasonably priced.
Your wife must be a saint.
Oh my God!
Like she has to be like Gandhi. Like she has to be at next level.
But here's the thing: she can put up with a lot, but she dishes it out too. Let's just say that.
All right. So here's what I wanted to before you get your second best play of the weekend, Brady. You have some odds for where Tom Brady's going to wind up start of the 2020 season.
Now, what would you say New England's chances are, just percentage wise?
The prohibitive favorite. I would say New England percentage wise is 70%.
That's right about right. So minus 300. So very good guess on the Patriots. And I've got a theory different than I've heard anyone else say. You can tell me if you've heard this before. Everyone's talking. I think it's wacky. Oh, Brady finally wants his money. It's like, wait a minute. He's gone all this time without caring about that last 5 mil or 10 mil. And obviously with his wife, they got enough. Not saying he shouldn't deserve it. It's just he's made that choice. Why would he change now? And then they're saying, oh, he wants to start having fun. Like, oh, it's been too tough. It's like
winning is just horrible.
Yeah, he's got one or two more years left. You think now's the time he's going to slack off? And to me, everything Brady's doing, he understands what Belichick's about. It's like Michael Corleone if you're Tom Hagen, right? You don't say, oh, I wonder if he'll kill Fredo. No way. No, he's going to whack out Fredo, right? So now he's been Tom Hagen right behind him the whole time, seeing what's been happening. He knows his ways, so he's trying to show strength. By showing strength, I've got options. Maybe I don't want to be here.
But he does have options.
Exactly. But the fact that he's accentuating those, the fact that he's making a point to make us talk about those in the media, I think is a message to Brady, a message to Kraft to Belichick and Kraft saying, hey, listen, you want me back? It's not going to be easy. And by the way, it's not about the money. It's about a second year. He wants 2 years. That's what this is about.
All right, so odds-wise, New England is, what do you say, minus 3?
Any thoughts on that, by the way?
I think it's beautiful. I absolutely think that he's going to be back with New England, and I think he'll probably get the 2 years that he wants.
But no one's even talking about he wants 2 years. They're saying he wants $33 million. Come on, they're worth like $700 million. He needs that last six. He wants one.
I tend to agree with you, but you never want to get into somebody else's pockets.
No. I'm not saying he's wrong to want it. I'm saying he's proven he has other priorities.
Unless now he's at the point where he says, you know what? I want to get paid fair market value. It's time.
Except how much money, if he wins one more Super Bowl, how much money does that mean to TB12 in the next 10 years?
I have
$100 million, maybe?
Yeah, a lot of money.
So, I don't think that he's playing around with $5 million. He's trying to win one more Super Bowl or at least have a good season for 2 years where you can say, I played to 45.
All right. So can I move on now or do you want
to? Yeah, go ahead.
All right. You sure?
Hey, Dave. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So New England minus 300. Let me guess. How many teams do you have on the list here?
You know something? It just dawned on me. I don't have it in front of me. So we'll tease this to the next segment.
Oh.
Listen, when you wake up 3 minutes before, Dave, you don't have it all written in front of you.
All right, so then you know what time it is.
It's time for a pick.
It's time for your second best play of the weekend.
All right, now this, let's go a third of a unit. So whatever you bet, let's say you're a $100 better, 33, some variation of that. Anthony Davis to win the MVP. 6-1. Is out there. And here's the thinking. Who's controlling this team? Team LeBron. Let me give you a hint. LeBron. Now, what does LeBron want? Does he want the glory for himself? Does it look like he's really fixated on that?
Who leads the NBA in assists this year?
Who leads the NBA in assists? He's segued into another stage of his career. He's going to score when he needs to. And he wants what? In the brightest lights, you know, the obviously before the finals, let AD have a great game. Because really, we know MVP is about usage, right? It's really, I mean, if you miss all your shots, you miss all your shots. But whoever takes the most shots usually wins the MVP from the winning team. I think LeBron's going to give it to AD. And obviously, if he tells other players, let's feed him, who's going to buck LeBron? And we're getting 6-1. I love it. And oh, by the way, Team LeBron is a big favorite in the game. So the odds of them winning are better than 50%. It's my.
And you got to figure that the winning team has the MVP.
Almost always, right?
What's the number on the game?
About 5.5.
That's a big number for an all-star game.
Yeah, but if you actually look at it, Fezzik, who is our NBA guy, NFL guy also, he said you take the top eight players, because Giannis and LeBron would round out the top 10, one of them's injured, and six of them on LeBron's team, one of them on Giannis's team.
Yeah, there. I'll tell you what, Giannis did not do any favors for himself to be a GM after his playing career is done.
But wasn't the theory that he's doing it to be amenable to the Eastern guys?
Maybe so, but still, I mean, clearly Team LeBron is the more talented team.
Do you like that play?
That he wants to get Eastern Conference guys on his team?
No, Anthony Davis, 6-1.
I love it.
All right.
Yeah, I love it. I might start gambling again just to get involved with this movie.
Now that's a pick.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.